Chapter 27 A Long Black Dress. Buck was not sure he could change the sun's minds, but it was worth a try. After fashioning a flag from a stick of firewood and a piece of white cloth, he stuck it out the front door, waved it back and forth several times, then eased outside. No shots rang out, so it appeared the brothers were willing to hear what Buck had to say. After all, it was now 4-3. Not as good of odds as 4-2. Leaving his pistol holstered, Buck walked about 10 paces away from the door, his white flag still held high. Then one of the brothers shouted,
"Hold it right there, mister.
I'd like to talk to you men for a minute about this situation we seem to be in."
"You three are in the situation,"
another brother shouted from his new vantage point atop the barn.
"And it's a damn bad one."
He had raised his rifle to fire when Bob's pistol shot came from the house. The young man lurched backwards from the impact of Bob's bullet going into his chest, and then fell from the rooftop dead. Having been distracted momentarily by the shot, the oldest brother now turned his rifle toward Buck. Before he could squeeze the trigger, Buck drew his own weapon and fired. The round found its mark in the young man's left lung. He fell and started coughing up blood. One of the two remaining brothers then sprang up from the high grass and fired. Buck felt the pain in his side before he heard the gun discharge. The impact of the bullet spun him around as if he were a child's top, and then he fell. Clutching his side with his free hand, Buck found his target and returned fire. This bullet entered just below the boy's left eye and exited the back of his head, leaving a large gaping hole. He too was dead before he hit the ground. The last brother came running from behind the bunkhouse towards Buck in a blind rage, firing as he came. His bullets threw up small clouds of dust on either side of Buck. The young man's rush to kill caused his aim to be unsteady. Buck tried to roll over, but the pain in his side left him practically immobile. He turned as best he could to meet his assailant, firing twice in the other boy's general direction as he ran toward him. Buck's own aim, hampered by the pain and his awkward position on the ground, was off by several feet. The remaining brother had closed to a distance that left little room for error when Buck heard the sound of thunder come from the house. His attacker flew backwards as if kicked by a mule. His chest and face were riddled with the buckshot from both barrels of Bob's double-barreled shotgun that he always kept just inside the front door. In less time than it takes to describe what had happened, the whole thing was over. A strange calm settled over the ranch. Bob checked all four bodies to confirm their deaths, and then helped Buck back into the house. They met Hank crawling across the bedroom floor towards the action. With his pistol in hand, he was trying his best to assist them in the battle. They both had to step over him to get Buck onto the bed.
"Would it be too damn much trouble to tell me what the hell is going on?"
Hank asked, as he kept his gun trained on the front door.
"Me and the boy have been busy cleaning up the damn mess you started,"
Bob said as he laid Buck on the bed.
"You can put your gun away, old man. They're all dead now. Buck got 2 and I got 2.
The kid hurt bad?"
Hank asked softly as he turned and raised himself on one elbow to look in Buck's direction.
"Nah, just creased his ribs a bit. He'll be right as rain in a few days. He might need a little stitching done on him, that's all."
Bob wrapped a damp cloth around Buck's ribs and then tied it tight to stop the bleeding. He then helped Hank back in the bed beside Buck and put a new dressing on Hank's wound as well. After giving them a drink of fresh water, Bob headed to town to bring back the sheriff and Doc Blackburn. The doc patched Hank and Buck up and the sheriff took the brothers' bodies back to town for burial. There would be no need for a trial. This was a plain case of self-defense. The brothers had come looking for trouble, and they got a hell of a lot more than they had bargained for. After a few days' bed rest, both men were able to sit on the front porch and catch up on things. Buck told Bob and Hank about his farm and heartbreak. Both advised him to just head straight home and forget the girl. They felt a woman that vengeful could be dangerous. Neither Hank nor Bob said anything bad about Buck's drinking, only that he might want to limit it to the weekends and not try to make a career out of it. After his drunken trip across Mexico, Buck was somewhat inclined to agree with him. 2 weeks later, both men filled up to a trip into town. 14 days of sobriety were enough for now. They all needed a drink of something a little stronger than water. When they entered the town, Buck stopped in front of the barber shop. He told Bob and Hank to go on to the cantina and that he would join them in a few minutes. This might be his last chance for a while to get a much-needed haircut. The barber had just started clipping Buck's hair when a shot rang out in the direction of the cantina. He jumped to his feet, jerked the barber shawl from around his neck, and hurried down the street with his gun drawn. Buck had a bad feeling as to what might have happened as he ran to the bar. Once inside, Buck stopped dead in his tracks. There, slumped forward onto a card table, was Hank's lifeless body. A pool of blood was spreading across the table and had started to drip onto the floor. Bob and the bartender were holding a struggling woman's arms. She wore a long black dress and veil. The steel-smoking revolver lay on the floor at her feet. She kept screaming hysterically,
"He killed my family! He killed my family!"
The sheriff rushed in the door behind Buck. One glance around the room and he had a good idea as to what had happened. After the sheriff took the woman away, Bob told Buck exactly what had taken place in his absence.